I'd like to speak to you this evening about a half acre worth fighting for. A half acre worth fighting for. First Samuel chapter 14. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for strength, for vision to face the future, for hope and help. Now, God, open our hearts tonight. Open our minds to this great truth that you're about to speak one more time to one more generation. Help me to hear it. Help every one of us in this sanctuary to be able to embrace this truth wholeheartedly for the coming days. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We thank you. Thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. Let this word live. We ask it in Jesus' name. A half acre worth fighting for. 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they, that would be the enemy army against Israel, fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. And so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. Now, suddenly their enemies are just literally, there's thousands and thousands of enemies pitched against Israel, and suddenly they're just dissipating. And they went, not only dissipating, but they're fighting with each other. It says, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul to the people that were with him, number now and see who's gone from us. Now, Saul was not much of a king. He'd lost the anointing of God, but he knew enough to know that whatever victory was being won in the spirit was not being won by the people he was leading. He said, who's gone from us? And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. Now, he's a type of a king who's trying to seek God when the battle has already been won. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Now keep in mind, nobody of the children of Israel is really fighting except Jonathan and his armor bearer, and yet they're defeating the entire army that's against them. And moreover, verse 21, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time went up with them into the camp, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about. Even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. An incredible time they were living in, very much like our time today. The enemy's armies had come in like a flood, every side, everywhere, and it must have been a fearful thing to stand on that mountain that day, looking into the valley and seeing this incredible army that set in array against the nation of Israel, characteristic of the people of God in that time, and they seem to be without strength to fight, as always happens when our hearts are turned to a wrong focus. They were facing that day the battle that many people face. And from time to time, it's this inner discouragement that our lives are not amounting to anything of lasting effect for the kingdom of God. Saul is unable to fight. The armies he's leading are unable to fight. It's a type of the testimony of God has become irrelevant and powerless. It's self-focused. It's lost its anointing. It's lost its strength. And it happens time and again throughout history, and in some measure has happened as well in our generation. But how many know that God always has a plan? He never leaves himself without a testimony in the earth. And how many also understand tonight that God's ways are not our ways? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His plans are not our plans. He always takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound those things that in themselves have become, as they see it, strong. He takes the nothings, the nobodies, the things that we would laugh at, empowers them with his strength and wins a victory so that his name might be glorified and his name alone. How many here tonight have ever begun to think, even in your heart, or begun to realize that perhaps, did you ever think that your life could be used to affect thousands of people? No, you didn't, of course. You're not even answering. You see, that's why you're fighting this battle, that Jonathan and his armor bearer would have had to fight and get through. And it's that inner discouragement, it's that outer voice, that thing of our own hearts that comes to plague us and of the devil himself that tries to tell you and me that our lives are not going to amount to anything of lasting value for the kingdom of God. As Jonathan did in verses 11 and 12, it says, "And both of them discovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they've hid themselves.' And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer, 'Come up unto us and we'll show you a thing or two,'" I guess if we were writing in our language today. "And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel.'" And here they are trying to move forward under a barrage of mockery. That's all the devil has because he was defeated on Calvary. All he has is a barrage of mockery. He knows from history what can happen when the least of God's saints in this place lay hold of this truth that you're hearing this evening. Every time the kingdom of God's about to significantly advance, this is often the pattern. You've had to fight it. I've had to fight it. Everybody here has had to fight it. Who do you think you are to think that you can be of any effect in the kingdom of God? Look at you. They would have been looking over the hill at Jonathan and his armor bearer climbing up, it says, on their hands and knees. It's not a position of strength. It's a position of weakness in the natural. It's a position of humility. It's a position of inferiority. And the devil looks down upon the children of God and he mocks and he laughs and he sneers and he makes gestures of defeat, but he himself knows only too well that that's the only weaponry he's got left to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God is to convince you that somehow your life is never going to amount to anything that will bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Every time in history that God was about to do something profound, this is the way it's been done. And I happen to believe in my heart we're going to live to see it again. We're going to live in our time to see the nothings, the nobodies, the insignificant, the marginalized, the weak, those that have been overlooked, the uneducated, those that don't have 5 degrees hanging on their wall, suddenly empowered again by the Holy Spirit. That no flesh can glory in his presence. Nobody can say this was done because I've achieved such and such in my life or I have such and such a talent. Oh no, it's going to be a testimony of Jesus in this last hour of time that we're living in. You have to fight through this half acre. This half acre as it is of mockery. This half acre that tells you you can't. This half acre that tells you you won't. This half acre of a barrage of contrary thought to what God says in his word. Every saint of God throughout history that was about to be used of God had to fight this. And you have to fight it too as well tonight. Just to back, you don't have to go there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6, we have a lady called Hannah. Her womb was empty. She was bearing no fruit. And she had an adversary. And she would come into the temple. And she would every year come up to the temple to pray with her husband. And the scripture says her adversary provoked her sore. Her adversary was there mocking her, laughing at her. Look at you. Look at your prayers. Look at the answers you've had to prayer. All you've ever had is a barren womb. But this woman would not be deterred. She fought on that half acre of prayer and would not give up. Laugh at me as you will, devil. But it's not over until God says it's over. She came before the altar of God, and the scripture says that God heard her. And she went home and she conceived and she bore a son, and his name was Samuel. And he became one of the most powerful prophets ever known in the Old Testament of God. Samuel, who walked in to Jesse's house and took a horn of oil and poured it on David, who was the Christ type in the scripture. Mighty man of God, a mighty prophet of God, born in the womb of a barren woman who had to fight through on the ground of prayer. Don't give up the ground of prayer. You think of Abraham and Galatians 3:6, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham had to fight on the ground of faith. Hannah on the ground of prayer, but Abraham on the ground of faith. God had given him a word, and he had to fight on that ground. And there are some people here tonight that God gave you a word. It's a whisper. It's not a shaking. It's not a wind. It's a whisper. It's a small, still voice, and you're the only one that has ever heard it. And somehow God has whispered something into your heart. Maybe it's about your family, your life, or some influence God's going to give you somewhere, something he's going to do through you. It's a whisper and nobody else knows it. And it's so preposterous, it's almost as if you dare not speak it. I remember walking the beat as a young police officer, and I'd never preached a sermon in my entire life. And suddenly I had a whisper inside that God was going to use my life for some good. And I started to pray. And I started to pray a specific prayer. I said, Lord, I want to win 100,000 people to you before I die. And I began to be specific in my prayer. I said, I don't want them just raising their hand somewhere in services. Or I want them to walk with you and to live for you all the days of their life and to do something. I'd never preached a sermon. I couldn't even speak publicly. But it was a whisper. And you got to fight when hell comes against that half. It's only a half acre. And you look at the size of the world and the devil is saying, man, there's 7 billion people on this planet. There's societies and cultures established that are contrary to the things of God. Have you not been listening to the radio? Do you not hear the scoffers on television and radio? And how do you think with your little half acre that you live on, you're going to make a difference in this world? But yet God speaks something into the heart. And you hold to that whisper of God. And yes, Abraham succumbed to weakness from time to time, just like you and I did. He tried in the flesh to make the things of God happen, and he cowered under the threatenings of the enemy from time to time. But yet he kept coming back to that ground, and he's today called the father of faith. And he believed God, and the scripture says it was accounted to him for right relationship. Right righteousness means right relationship with God. He believed God. He kept coming back to the ground of faith. And no matter where you've been driven or what weakness has come into your heart or what kind of trial you might be facing, you can come back to that ground of faith anytime and choose to believe God. Even Jesus Christ himself, he had to battle his own half acre of faith. After the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And that was a symbolic of just a half acre. He's about to take on the sins of the world as it is. He's about to take on the rightful dominance of hell over the lives of men, women, and children born in the image of God. But it didn't start at a cross. It started in a wilderness. It started in a place with a mocking voice coming against the promises of God and the faithfulness of God and the purpose of God. Do you really believe, if you're the Son of God, that God's going to provide for you? Do you really believe that if you jump down, that God's going to catch you? Do you really believe that if you die, that God is going to raise you? And he had to fight. And before he won on the cross, I want to suggest to you, he had to win the half acre in the wilderness. He had to come out of that wilderness believing God. Come out of that wilderness with it settled in his heart. That my life is going to count for the glory of God. God's ways are higher than mine. God's purposes are finer than everything that my natural mind can come up with. And when this is all over, I'm going to see hell tremble. Hell is going to shake, and I'm not leaving this world alone. I'm taking multitudes with me. That should be the cry. That should be the cry of every child of God, especially in this generation. Especially when the devil's trying to tell the church in our time that we're overwhelmed, that we're defeated, that we're a non-issue. We don't even have the right to be in public anymore. We should go and hide ourselves in some cave somewhere. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus sits at the right hand of Almighty God, and all authority and all power. Every name that is named, every principality, power, every dominion, every kingdom, every king, every country that has ever lived and ever will live is under the authority of Jesus Christ. The devil would have us believe that there's little value to winning our present battle. You see, I'm talking about the half acre that you're on tonight. The battle that you're facing. And you might not think winning this battle is significant. And he might tell you that even if you did win it, what long-term good would it do anyway for the kingdom of God? And don't think that Jonathan didn't have to fight that up that hill. Even if you do take this half acre, even if you do defeat 20 soldiers, which is a garrison, so big deal. There's hundreds of thousands of enemy soldiers in the valley with iron chariots and horses camped out against a poorly defended nation of Israel. So what makes you think that your half acre is going to make a difference? Number one, when you decide to get up and fight for what God says is rightfully yours, the first thing that happens is somebody will follow you. Amen. Hallelujah. Might be your son or daughter. Might be somebody in your own home. Might be that neighbor across the hall. But somebody will take courage and say, I don't know where he's going, but I see something in his eye, and I'm going with him. The armor bearer said, you do what's in your heart. I see something in you, and where you're going, it may look like a suicide mission, but I'm in. I'm with you. The armor bearer didn't even have a name. Scripture doesn't even record his name, but it tells you and I that he fought behind Jonathan and had just as much strength and just as much victory as Jonathan did. Pastor, when we make the choice to walk with God, people will follow. When you make the choice to walk with God, you don't know it, but there's somebody sitting at a desk in your workplace who's looking at you. And when you make the choice to win that battle, as insignificant as it might seem, whatever that fight is, whatever half acre you're on, if it's a half acre of learning to be a friend, if it's a half acre of learning to tell the truth, if it's a half acre of learning to be a husband or a wife or a good son or daughter, whatever that half acre is that you're on right now, if you get up and start to fight on that ground, somebody is going to follow you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I remember as a young Christian, I had my struggles and battles just like you do. I still do. I had those early battles that you have to fight and get through. That wave of doubt and unbelief. Is this really God? Did God really tell me this? And will I ever really amount to anything? Or will I ever get out of behaving this way? Will my life ever... I know that the Bible says a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit. But is that just a pie in the sky for me, or is it real? Is it really going to be part of my life? And I made the choice to start to fight and fight on the ground of faith. That's how I got out of panic attacks for 9 years. You make the choice to get up and you win that half acre. I can't tell you how many people have been brought out of fear because of that half acre that was won almost 30 something years ago now in my heart and in my life. I remember all the people I worked with that would suddenly just get up and want to follow. It's amazing. I wasn't even sharing Christ with some of them. And suddenly they just simply wanted, whatever you believe, I want that. I remember one day I was in the car, I was driving with my partner, and I was not in a very good mood, but I'm still fighting for what is right. And he said to me out of nowhere, he said, "What is it that you believe anyway?" And it was one of those days where I just don't want to talk about this. even though it's the most important thing in my life, it's just not a good day. So can we talk about this some other time? And so I remember I just, from memory, no passion in my heart whatsoever. He saw something. He saw that I was going somewhere. And he wanted to know what it is that I believed. And so I told him just a few words that mankind sinned, Jesus died on the cross, and believing in him, we can be forgiven. No passion, no altar call, no nothing. Just said it. I remember he's driving. He punched the steering wheel with his fist. He's another cop. He said, "I want that." I was shocked, actually, that he wanted it. But when you decide to fight, somebody will follow you. You have to understand, you got to fight. And you fight with faith. You fight with prayer. You fight for the glory of God and for the souls of men. You simply fight. You get up and fight. And number two, verses 14 and 15 tells us that when you begin to fight, hell begins to shake and its power over other people begins to be broken. And it says, after that first slaughter, verse 14, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might. But a half acre is not a very big piece of real estate. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field, among all the people, the garrison, even the spoilers. Now, the spoilers are little bands of robbers, as it is, that are sent in advance to strike terror in the hearts of the enemies. They're sent in to burn and heart and just cause fear. And even the spoilers start to be afraid. And the earth quaked, and it was a very great trembling, because Jonathan and his armor bearer had won a half acre of ground by faith. Hell begins to shake, and its power over other people begins to be broken. Let me say it this way. It's like taking a stone in your hand and dropping it into a pond. Now, the lake or the pond might be quite large, but on a clear day, when there's very little wind, and you drop that stone in that pond, it suddenly creates a ripple. It's like a mini tsunami, as it is, on a very small scale. And it starts to go out, and that's exactly what happens when you win those battles. See, we have to accept this by faith. We can't see it with our eyes. When you begin to win these battles, hell begins to shake, and hell's power over other people begins to be broken. It's as if the devil in New York City says, oh no, Sheila Jones, John Smith in Brooklyn has laid hold of this truth one more time in the Bible and is starting to fight. Somebody has risen up out of the crowd. Somebody has left the powerless religion that wants to paralyze the people of this generation and keep us out of the fight. Somebody is starting to fight, and we're starting to feel the ramifications already in the realm of the spirit. Our power is being broken. Our hold is being, oh no, we owned that apartment block. We owned that workplace. We owned that family. And suddenly somebody is fighting. God, help us to get a hold of this and see this. Somebody's risen up. Somebody is refusing to go down in defeat. Somebody is refusing to sit in mediocrity any longer. Don't you think the devil doesn't know it? That's why he fights so hard to keep you in bondage. He fights so hard to keep you behind a wall, to keep you imprisoned in your mind. He fights hard to convince you that your life will never amount to anything, because that darkened creation knows history. When somebody somewhere gets a hold of God, one man, one woman can change a nation. Satan knows it. D.L. Moody, just a young boy, always in trouble, almost illiterate, suddenly decides one day as a teenager that he's going to let God have everything he's got. And before his life is over, continents have changed. Churches have been revived. Just one boy that got up and decided to fight. Hallelujah. And lastly, verses 20, 21 and 22 tell us these things, that more happens than you'll ever know on this side of eternity. Verse 20 says, and Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves and they came to the battle. That's a type of the church that's powerless. People want revival, but they need leadership. And then suddenly a powerless army is on their feet. A formerly conquered people are beginning to be conquerors. And is it happening because of a new conference, a new strategy, a new book? No, it's happening because two men crawled up on their hands and knees and took a half acre of ground. Verse 21 says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country, even they turned to be with the Israelites. Now, these are traitors. They're traitors, folks. They saw that the Philistine army was stronger, so they abandoned Israel and they teamed up with the Philistines. These are traitors. But when they saw the power of God come back into the nation again, they turned, left that camp of being traitors, and came back to fight with the people of God. We have people in our generation that are on the wrong side. But they're going to come back, folks. They're going to come back when they see bread in the house of Jerusalem again. And it says, likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Oh, there is an army. It's hidden. But suddenly doors are opening. Suddenly things are happening and the weak are becoming strong and the poor have the treasure of Christ revealed to them again. And those that have not known victory, when they see there is victory and victory is within their grasp, they begin to step out and fight as well. It's called revival, actually. The whole army is back on its feet again. When we get to heaven one day, the Lord will look at you and me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And some of us will look at Christ and say, what did I do? You know, I'm sorry, but I had a vision of life in my life accounting for more than it did. And I really only won a few people to Christ in my life, but I did the best I knew how, and I stood for what I knew was right. And the Lord will say, no, let me show you the whole picture. You see, every person you win to Christ, and let's say that person wins two, and those two win four, and those four win 16. You realize that none of that would have ever happened had you not won that one person to Christ. And so when the rewards are given, when you and I stand before the throne of God, you bear a part of the reward of every soul that comes to Christ through every soul that you win to Christ. Some of you will get to heaven and found out you had a direct involvement in the winning of thousands of people and you never knew it. Because it doesn't end, don't forget, until Christ returns. It goes this way, straight out. It doesn't end until Christ returns. And so you could be long dead by the time your reward is given to you and you find out how many people came to Christ. Well, what did I do, God, that had you look at me and say, well done? Well, you see, I put a half acre before you and you went into that battle and you won that battle in the strength of God and you sent a ripple through hell when you did, and many people found victory because of what you did. You won the half acre. To win thousands to Christ, you don't have to be a great evangelist. Win one. Win two. Win a few people to God. And when you get to heaven, you find out that history was changed in the lives of thousands of people. Yes, your life is a half acre worth fighting for. Your ministry is worth fighting for. Your future is worth fighting for. What it is that God's given you is worth fighting for. You are worth fighting for the glory of God. Somebody's going to understand this one day and get up and fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be at the throne of God when suddenly this is all made clear. Suddenly, we realize that all the devil was just a big noise. He really had no power unless he could convince us he did. We really were victorious unless he could convince us we weren't. And some here tonight, hopefully everyone, one day at the throne of God is going to be able to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank God you put something in my heart to get up and fight. And to take that acre of ground, that half acre that you put before me, whatever that half acre is in my life, whatever it means. And if all I ever take is that half acre, I'm going to trust that it's going to send a ripple into hell before Jesus comes." Glory to God. This is the key to revival. There's no other key. There's not going to be some cosmic moment in the church. It's you and me getting a hold of these truths. It's you and me rising up in faith, saying we're not going down in defeat as long as Christ is alive. We're not going to let people go to hell when we have resident within us enough power to take them to heaven. I'm not staying in a prison when Jesus Christ said that he's opened the door. I'm not going to lay down wounded the rest of my life when he said that he's brought healing into my heart. I'm going to take this half acre of ground and I'm going to take a multitude of souls with me on the journey. And nobody's going to tell me I can't because God said I can. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I prayed tonight that you'd have a burning in your heart, that something would ignite inside in this generation. Glory be to God. What an hour for the church to be here in New York City when everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And we've been speaking about that for some time. What an hour to be alive. What a time to know Christ. What a moment to be able to sing a song of victory. What a time to be able to walk out of prison. What a time to have light in your eye and bounce in your step. The scripture says that Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet. In other words, he crawled. And if that's what we have to do to get started, that's what we do. But we start somewhere. You got to crawl to get there, crawl to get there. But you get there. And God will not fail you. Christ will not disappoint you. He'll never send a son or daughter away empty if you ask for bread. He won't send you away weak if you ask for power. You want to walk in truth? You'll be free. Free. Thank God. Lord Jesus Christ, send revival. God Almighty, here we are. Weak, needing you, but something is stirring inside. Something is stirring in our hearts, Lord. My God, in the upper room, they were no different than us. They were fishermen. They were cowards. They had struggles and trials. They were in a society overpowered by the enemy, but they waited. They trusted. They believed, and they took that half acre in the upper room. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so thankful that history repeats itself. I'm so thankful that we don't have to look to another way. He's already shown us how. Glory to God. I don't know about you folks, but I'm taking the half acre I'm on. Glory to God. Mine is mine and yours is yours. We've all got our half acre before us. Believe me, it never changes. But we keep taking it. We keep taking it. We keep taking it. And it sends ripples into hell itself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have to start where you are now. Start where you are. Take the half acre you're on. However you got to get there, however you got to fight, you get up and fight. You take that in the strength of Christ. You take it in the prayer closet. You take it by faith. You take it by the word of God. You take it where the way every saint before you has ever taken it. You don't need a new way. There's no new scheme, no new plan. It's all there. It's all been written. It's all clear before us. Let's get up and take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New York doesn't have to go to hell when there's a church in it. Glory to God. The Lord just had one man, Jonah, and a whole society that was just completely and utterly heathenistic turned to God. Just one man. I don't know how big a whale's belly is. Be a half acre if it's a big whale, I guess. But he took it. He surrendered his unbelief. He surrendered his unwillingness. And great good was done for the honor of God. My friend, my brother, my sister tonight, surrender your unbelief. Surrender your self-image. Surrender the lies in your heart that tell you that you'll never amount to anything. Surrender it and get up and say, no, this is not my future. No, sir. I don't care, Satan, if I have to crawl on my hands and knees. You and I have a destiny to fight together. I want to give an altar call tonight for everybody who wants to fight. You want to fight, and you know what it is, and you know where you got to start. The Lord's been speaking to your heart the whole time. You know exactly what the half acre is right now. So start there, and just watch hell begin to shake. Hallelujah. Let's stand, please, and as we worship, just slip out. Come join me. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for victory tonight. Whoever you are, whatever your battle is, let's believe God. That's where it all starts. You're Hannah. Just make your way here. You don't need strength and you don't have to have it all together. You have to have a willing heart. And be ready for God to do something. And He's going to do it. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God Almighty, we're asking you tonight to take our lives, each of us, Lord, individually and collectively as a church body, and send a ripple into hell, God, through us. Oh, Lord, cause the enemies of truth and righteousness and the souls of men have to begin to turn and do battle one with another. Cause a great discomfiture in the camp of the enemy. And do it through us, Lord. Do it, God Almighty, through us who know that we need you, who know that you're all-powerful, who know that you won a victory on Calvary. We know that you take the weak to confound the strong. Do it through us, oh God. Take us, Lord Jesus Christ. Take us, oh God. Take us, oh God, into the city. And break the power of hell. Break the powers of darkness. Jesus, cause every knee to bend and every tongue to confess that you are Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. 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 Glory to God in New York City. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. To God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. One more time, oh God. One more time. One more time before you come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to send a tsunami of your presence into this city. All the boroughs, Lord, every neighborhood, every place of business, every house, every place. Let the glory of God visit this city. And do it for your name's sake, Jesus. For your holy name's sake. And take the weakest of the weak and do it, oh God. And we give you the glory, Father. Lord, we live to see the day when we're laughing in the streets and dancing and clapping our hands for the glory of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the sound of a distant rain. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Please remember prayer meeting Thursday night. Friday night is the gate. Sunday morning we'll be back here, but we got to go singing a victory song. Thank you for leading us in such wonderful worship today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I hear something. I hear something in my spirit. I hear something. I see an army on its feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear an army on its feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give God a shout of glory in this house. Hallelujah.